Hey, everybody. You know, Mark and I have over 20 years of experience as therapists and as addicts in long-term successful recovery. We know better than anyone what works and what doesn't to break out of porn and sex addiction, heal betrayal trauma, and reclaim your relationship.
And we've poured all of our personal and professional recovery and healing experience into a first-of-its-kind program for addicts, spouses, and couples. We call it Dare to Connect.
At least four times every week, we engage with you in real time, in the trenches, giving you the knowledge and the tools to take back your life and relationship.
Whatever else you've done on your journey for healing and recovery, you've never done anything like this.
You know, Mark and I, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Don't reinvent the wheel.
We all know tomorrow never comes. Look, don't wait one more day to change. Claim your free two-week trial today at daretoconnectnow.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Mark Castleman.
We know the pain and heartbreak of porn and sex addiction.
And we know the triumph of breaking completely free.
Every day, we help our clients find hope and healing.
Join us in the fight to take back your life, your marriage, and be stronger than ever.
This is the PBSC Squared Podcast. Good morning, everybody. Mark and Steve here coming at you from the PBSC podcast this morning. It's good to be with you today. We've got a cool topic today to cover. Mark and I have picked an oldie, but a goodie. be a good one to hit on. We got an email this week from a listener, and I'm going to go ahead and it's quite short. So I'll read that to you, but we're basing a lot of what we're talking about on from this email. This comes from one of our female listeners. I'd like to know how it is that your wives were willing and able to stay in your marriages through all the porn and affairs. My son-in-law is an addict, and my daughter can't see how she can stay married to him. She's willing to be friends for the sake of the kids, but she doesn't know how she can stay. He is not yet admitting he's an addict. She's never felt loved in their young five years of marriage. Any advice would be appreciated.
Yeah, that sure resonated with us, didn't it?
Oh, geez. That's I had a nickel for every time I've heard that in my office or replayed my own story in my head.
Yeah, replayed our own stories for sure. Yeah, our hearts really resonated to this. Sounds like a mom.
Yeah.
Obviously, who's writing in. Boy, can we relate to that.
Absolutely.
You know, so so first of all, as we start this, we're going to tell you this is that little email has so many complexities in it and so many layers that we could literally do like a 3-day retreat just off of this email.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we're going to come at this to answer it from two places. One is from the individual who's struggling with sexual issues, the pornography and so forth, who appears as in denial. And then from the standpoint of the wife and what she's facing. So let's talk about the guy, let's talk about the husband in this situation. We obviously don't know him. We don't have any of the details, so we don't know where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But from our own standpoint and from working with people every day for years and years on this, we can tell you what is probably or likely going on, or we can give you some options.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's probably in denial or not coming forward for a number of reasons. One could be shame, which is a biggie. Right. If I bring this secret out and I admit everything that's going on, my reputation will be ruined. My marriage will be over. No one will see me the same again. If I'm religious, my religious standing is shot. So it's this fear that comes from shame of being seen, of being found out.
Yeah,
so that's a big possibility.
Yeah. Well, and I think that shame, you know, I reflect back on my own history, and to say that that's a fear is a real understatement. You know, I don't know if there's language powerful enough to describe, I think, what an addict goes through. I mean, the religious culture that Mark and I both grew up in, the religious culture that many of us grow up in, and even just, you know, the general culture that all of us grow up in, there is such a huge taboo to this topic,
yep.
You know, and everything tied to it. And I mean, Mark and I, we are not exaggerating when we've talked about it many times. We both would have hands down rather died than anybody know about this.
Well, we said we're taking this to the grave.
Yeah. Like this is just, I've got in my case, you know, I did open up to my wife about it, for the most part. That was it. And the thought of anybody finding out was just beyond overwhelming. So we don't minimize that at all. But yeah, that shame and everything coming with it for an addict, I mean, it does feel like it isn't just potentially losing your family. I mean, for most addicts, because we are, I know this is a big shock, we're all codependent by nature, right? Really means facing the prospect of losing our life as we know it.
Yep, as right? We know it, exactly.
And so yeah, that is a big piece. Obviously, there's the other side of that too, right? That that is a main contributing factor, which is pride. And we talk, Mark and I have both talked often, I think on this podcast even, about how, you know, shame and pride in many respects are actually very, very similar. They look like the opposites of each other. But when we're in a place of pride or in a place of shame, one of those commonalities is that in either position, I am convinced that I'm the expert and that I'm right in that situation, right? Yeah. I'm either perpetually not the problem, as is the case with pride, or I am perpetually the complete problem and hopeless, right? On those two extremes. And so that would be another option as well. And oftentimes we see those work in tandem, right? We will have clients I know that I've had clients I know that I work with on a frequent basis where you'll kind of get both views in the same discussion, right? Oscillating between the two of, you know, here comes the shame, here's how it manifests. And then all of a sudden there's that switch over to pride.
Yes. Yep. So true. And I, you know, and on that pride side, I might be saying, well, there's all sorts of justification, minimization, you know, well, it's not really a big problem. I mean, all guys do it. I mean, yeah, I can control this anytime. It's not like it's completely overtaken my life. Mm-hmm. So there's all this minimization that goes on. And the other side that's really is a very legitimate side is if you're using this as a way to cope, as a way to self-soothe and deal with the stresses and the difficulties of life, there's a part of you that says, I don't know that I could live without this.
Yeah.
So there's this fear that what am I going to do if I don't have this to run to when things get really hard? So there's that side as well. So a lot of issues at work here as to why somebody, you know, won't come forth and be totally transparent.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that doesn't come at, as we often say, that's not an excuse, but it does give some of the reasons, right?
It's an explanation. Some of the challenges. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And on the part of the spouse, again, we're inferring a lot from this email. So we're kind of having to make some, you know, inferences. So please bear with us on that end. This is, as we always say, this is not therapy. We know very little bit about the background. The goal today is not to solve all the issues that were presented in this email. We just want to start this couple off on a couple of places where they can, you know, where we can act as a catalyst to making some changes.
Exactly.
So with that in mind, let's look at the wife's side of this. Betrayal trauma is a topic we talk about on here all the time. And from what is being described here, I'm seeing a wife who is, there are many things going on, right? There's a lot of fear mixed in with probably a lot of love, right? There's a desire to stay in the relationship. And I know that in what is described here in the email, it sounds almost as though this wife is vocalizing, you know, I can't love him anymore. And that very well could be true, right? That is a possibility. We would definitely validate that. But it is also equally possible that it's not that there isn't a capacity to be able to love. Or that there couldn't still be love in the relationship. It's that it just feels completely untenable because of the current circumstances, right? You'd be really hopefully shocked, I think, in a positive way, how many of the women that Mark and I work with and the marriages that we work with where wives will oftentimes vocalize that very thing, right? Like, there's just no way I don't even think I can love that guy anymore. Right. Okay. I don't think I can even stay, maybe for the kids, you know, maybe, but like otherwise I don't think I can do it. But as we start to implement even just some basic things during the counseling and the therapy process, and as the husband in this case is able and willing to just make the slightest of changes, right, and see things from even the slightest different perspective, oftentimes that hopelessness can be alleviated a lot more than may be seen currently. You're going to have a lot better time or a much easier time, I would say, being able to see a world in which you could be happy in that relationship again. So just wanting to throw that out there too.
Yeah. And one of the things I noticed in the comment, you know, she said she's never felt loved in their young 5-year marriage.
Yeah.
So when I hear that, I sense a lot of fatigue.
Yeah,
absolutely. Woman who's worn out. There's kids involved, so she probably might, in some ways, feel like she's quote going it alone, emotionally. If he's been involved with some of these, you know, these sexual outlets and behaviors, perhaps during the entire time they've been married, he probably brought it into the marriage, most likely.
Yeah.
So she's probably felt that aloneness the whole time, maybe not mm-hmm. even consciously, but unconsciously. It's just something was registering. Something's not right. He doesn't show up. He's here, but he's not here. Right. Yeah. All of these signs that you see, and it's very, very common for women to just be worn out by that
yeah.
situation.
Well, yeah. And I think even to the point of if there is love, right, there's a possibility that maybe he has been loving at times, but that very well could be overridden by all of the negative, right?
Yes.
It's so coated over by the betrayal and the other things going on, the lack of being willing to discuss things and not be open, that could be plaguing that as well. But I think what all that kind of boils down to is, in some form or fashion, pretty much every wife that we work with finds themselves from either a loving place or a fear of the consequences. We find ourselves we spouses find ourselves compromising authenticity, right?
Yep.
We're trying to keep the relationship together. In this case, you know, part of it's because of the kids or whatever the case is. But I, you know, that whatever happens here in this particular situation, some authenticity is going to have to be reclaimed on probably both ends of the spectrum if this thing is to really move forward and move out of this kind of stuck cycle that they're in.
Yeah, this ability or willingness or, you know, crazy act of courage to actually stand up and speak your truth. You know, both the guy struggling with the sexual issues as well as the wife. It's all about, am I willing to stand up and be seen?
Just
transparent and authentic, and here I am. And that's a scary thing. It doesn't come easily to us. It wasn't typically modeled to us as we were raised. We didn't see a lot of really truly authentic people in our lives typically.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. Hopefully what everyone pulls from this podcast today is that there is hope. You know, for all of you listening out there, Mark and I get it. We know recovery is tough stuff.
No kidding, man. We'd have given anything during those dark addiction years to have two seasoned professionals like us, you know, to bounce stuff off of, to get advice, to get mentoring.
I know, right? That's why we've created the perfect program to guide addicts and spouses on their path to healing. For those listening today, there's no need for you to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to make the same mistakes we did.
Don't go it alone. We're in this together. To get started, visit daretoconnectnow.com.
And I know before we got going today, Mark, you were talking about sharing a little bit of your history now pertaining to some of these dynamics.
Yeah, because as I read the first line of that email, you know, I'd like to know how it is that your wives were willing and able to stay in your marriage through all the porn and affairs. And so for me, of course, I brought my addiction into my marriage. My wife didn't know, and I kept it secret for almost 20 years. And it finally all came to a head when my wife came to me one night and she just looked me square in the eyes and said, I just don't think I can love you the way you are.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like shocking, you know, because she had been a go along to get along person. She was busy raising our kids and holding down the fort at home. And she was just an awesome person. And I took that as license to go do what I wanted to do, or, you know, felt that I couldn't break out of. But when she hit me with that, when she stood in her truth and declared it boldly, I'm sure she was afraid. I'm sure that, you know, all kinds of things were going on, but she said it. And in typical addict fashion, because I was an escaper and an avoider, it crushed me. And I immediately that night went into my garage and got into my gun safe and held that, you know, that Glock in my hand and thought really long and hard about whether to pull the trigger. And thank goodness I didn't, but it was a real turning point for me. Now, for me, all the reasons we've talked about, we as guys kind of are in denial or keep this secret and don't come forward. For me, it was all the things that we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. So shame was huge for me. If anyone finds out about all of this, my life is over. Mm-hmm. My reputation in the community, my reputation as a professional at church, my marriage could very well be done. It's shot. Life as I know it is destroyed. So I cannot do that, right? It's unthinkable. Also was denial about how bad this was, right? I can manage this, you know, so I'd have times of sobriety and then my confidence would say, okay, you can do this, you can do this. And then of course, here comes the relapse again, roller coaster ride up and down. And I didn't want to admit that I could not do it by myself. My famous saying was, God and I can handle this just fine.
Yeah.
And of course, the reason we could handle it just fine is because involving somebody else was unthinkable. But then there was another side for me as well that is really legitimate for a lot of guys. This was my go-to place when life got hard. And I had been doing it, having it as my self-medication and self-soothing from the time I was about 12 or 13 years old.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I had spent 3 decades with this being the place you go when life gets tough.
It's all you'd ever known in terms of coping.
All of it for coping. And so the thought that I would actually give this up permanently was terrifying to me. Well, how will I manage? What if things get really hard? Mm-hmm. You're saying I don't have this to go to? Whoa. Okay. No, that I can't fathom that.
Yeah.
So I just stayed in it and stayed secret until my wife, bless her heart, did this courageous, really loving act to stand toe-to-toe with me and say, here's the deal, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to kind of the, I love that. And as we look at that original question, you know, how were our wives willing and able to stay? Mark, I think you've identified a couple of good points. I mean, the biggest one that sticks out to me is that they were willing and in a place, even despite the fear, despite the downright terror, I think, that comes with having that conversation, especially with an addict who has poor coping skills, right? Mm. Let's just say I was kind of like Mark. I didn't so much shut down when I was confronted by things. I would get downright aggressive, and I'm not sure which one is better. You know, I would meet those confrontations with just so much blowback that for my wife, oftentimes it was just, this just isn't worth it. It's not even mm-hmm. worth talking about. Right. But in some form or fashion, if it hasn't already happened, a wife needs to be able to reclaim that authenticity that I mentioned a minute ago. Right. And part of that process, a beginning part of that process, is letting her husband know in no uncertain terms on a deep, detailed level, the way in which his behavior is impacting her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Sometimes that it's safe enough to do that in person. Mark and I have both done that with our spouses, but in some cases it may not be safe enough to do that. Maybe oftentimes I will have clients write an email when communication has become this stymied. We'll start off with like an email or a letter. Right.
Yep.
Something where you can kind of gather, it allows you to gather your thoughts and put them together in a balanced way without being reactive. And likewise, it puts the ball in the other person's court to read that when they're ready, right? To look at that and then respond. So there are lots of ways to go about that, but that authenticity needs to, that starts to that starts to need to be reclaimed, if I'm saying that right. I think I'm losing my English this morning. Well, you guys know what I mean. but we have to start taking that back if this is going to really work. And I think that that's a powerful first step, right? Is doing, getting bold and being able to say, look, I'm, you know, the highest form of love, as Mark and I talk on here all the time, is telling somebody what they need to hear, not what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's always about being willing to confront in a loving way and say, look, I care about this marriage too much to shield you to whatever degree I am of what's happening here and where I think this is really headed.
Right. You know? And I actually had a client a while back that was really having a lot of trouble with what you're describing. You know, we have this concept in our culture, you know, we fell in love, you fall in love. And boy, that's not been my story or virtually any couple I've ever worked with. You don't fall into it. You might fall into infatuation originally.
Yeah.
You know, some of us might even fall into lust that starts a relationship, but love is built. It's created. I told this client, I said, love is damn hard work.
Yeah.
Yep. And my wife and I, the reason that we're where we are today is because we've been through hell together.
Yeah.
I mean, to put it blunt, it didn't just happen. It was a ton of work on both of our parts. But that's what makes it worth it. We look at each other today and, you know, it's just sort of, we'll be in a room and we'll kind of look over and just give each other that sort of look, you know, where our eyes meet. And it's an understanding. It's like, wow, we really been through it, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so absolutely. That growth, that stretching, that sacrifice, that just the crazy stuff we go to get to this place, Steve and I can tell you it is worth it.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. Now, whether that is something that you're willing, ready, able, or even can do, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There are some situations where one spouse is not willing, won't put in the work, won't become authentic, won't face the issues. And so that relationship, it may not work the way we're describing.
Yeah.
That's an important thing to acknowledge.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it is important to note, nobody can, I'm a firm believer that I don't think even a therapist in most cases, excluding just downright physical abuse or, you know, physical safety for reasons of that nature, I don't know that I would ever feel comfortable counseling anyone to say, hey, it's time to leave this marriage, right? Every situation's unique and we know very little about this situation.
True.
But what I can tell you is, you know, pulling off of my experience and Mark pulling off of his, I know we've discussed this many times, it is far better, and the research, a lot of the research backs this up as well. It is far better for the children, for example, in a marriage where things have really truly gone cold and we lose the ability to even be amicable with each other. It's going to be the kids tend to be better off in a separated state, in a divorced state. They're much better off in a relationship where the coupleship is separated but amicable, as opposed to together but miserable.
Mm.
And it sets them up for a lot less problems. And I, my personal feeling is that they're, and professional, I guess I would say, is that I don't think that in most cases, I think staying exclusively for kids in the long run is going to lead to more dissatisfaction and resentment than could ever be outweighed by any potential benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough line to navigate, you know,
it is.
Please hear us. We're not trying to declare, you know, absolutes or ultimatums, but just trying to point out all your options.
For sure.
And part of being authentic is to step back and say, okay, let me look at this whole picture and not take anything off the table as a potential solution. Let's look at them all. Let's really step back and look at this hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One of my favorite phrases from 12 Step, I think it's from the Alcoholics Anonymous big book, is, you know, acceptance today is the answer to all of my problems.
Mm.
Right. And I think that in this case, if we were to kind of sum up some of the things that need to happen, is acceptance is a good catalyst for where this coupleship is at. This husband needs to understand and know in certain terms where he's really at and what is really on the line and at risk. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, this wife needs to be able to look at this, and maybe she's already done that. But we all have that need to, you know, those of us who are caught in trauma have that need to look and say, is there a way in which I can stay in this relationship or make this work that allows me to be happy as well, right? That allows me to grow, not just my kids to thrive, but allows for me to thrive in addition.
Yeah.
Now that kind of takes us to the, to a new point, as we wrap up here. This email is a perfect indicator for one of the reasons why Mark and I have been working on something in secret.
In secret. Yeah. Yeah. This is a great example today. We've talked about a lot of things, but we just don't have the opportunity to get personal on this podcast because we're not engaging with each of you individually.
Yeah.
But we're going to be launching a program, May 3rd. Have we written that in blood, Steve?
Yes, we have. May 3rd of 2021.
May 3rd of 2021.
This year.
We're going to be launching Dare to Connect. And that's our new program where every week, Steve and I are going to get on a live webinar three times a week, Mondays for those suffering with addiction, Wednesdays for spouses in betrayal trauma, and Fridays for couples where we work on the marriage. And so three times a week for a half hour each session, Steve and I are going to get raw and real with the people who join that program and talk about their issues specifically. They'll be able to communicate with us via chat while we're broadcasting.
Yeah.
We'll record what we broadcast so those who can't be there can listen to it after. There's going to be lots of assignments and tools. And it's this wonderful program that we've wanted to do forever.
Yeah.
You know, to provide to people out there across the whole world who are looking for just a little bit more help than this podcast will give, right? Some mentoring, some support. It's not intensive in-depth therapy. It can't be, but it's a great place in between to get some help to people for really a fraction of the cost of just of regular therapy. So we're excited that we're going to be launching.
Yeah, absolutely. There's not enough good that we can say about this program. It really is the program truly that Mark and I wish we had had.
Yeah.
Going through this.
Seriously.
We wanted something and needed something where we could be at times at least somewhat anonymous, right? Have some privacy. We needed convenience. We needed the capacity to touch base with some sort of a professional on some level more than just once a week. You know, because right. We'd have therapy on Monday and by Wednesday, everything had gone to hell again.
You know? That's true.
We needed more touch base that way. We needed more guidance. And the thing that both of us love about this program is that Dare to Connect can help you wherever you're at listening on this podcast. If you're 5 years sober or 5 minutes sober, this can be of benefit to the couples that we work with. So we've been working on this for, geez, what? 3 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Three-ish years. So it's been a long time in development, and we're just in the final stages of getting everything lined up to make it a real cool launch. So we're excited, and there'll be more information coming out about that. In the meantime, though, please do visit us at that new website at daretoconnectnow.com. And as always, if you've got questions or things that you'd like for us to talk about on this podcast, you're always welcome to reach out to us at our contact form at pbscpodcast.com. Everything expressed on the PBSC podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.